said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came there to stay.
Said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to those tears I died.
Your goodness so great I can't understand.
And dear Lord, I know now that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. My chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know now without God I'd never be whole. Savior, you opened all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shores. Take me, I'm yours. Said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. For those tears I died.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Why would you do that, preacher? Well, I don't know. Just because he's done everything that I could ever imagine and then some for me. He's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. I praise the Lord for His goodness in my life. And again, I want to say I praise the Lord for the good special singing. It's really just ministered to my heart and challenged me, and it's just prepped me for what I believe God wants to do in the preaching hour this morning. You have your Bible open to Habakkuk chapter number 2, and I just want to bring some thoughts to you that the Lord's laid on my heart, kind of in follow-up of some of the things that we talked about last Lord's Day, past Sunday. And I want to say before we get into the message too deeply that I don't think I have to remind you our world is in a mess. And it's not because of race. It's not because of viruses. It's not because of a lot of things that are being put out front that our world is in a mess. Our world's in a mess because the God of this world is the devil. I'm going to say that again, just so those of you who didn't pick up on that will know really why our world's in a mess. Our world's in a mess because the God of this world is the devil. That's why our world's in a mess. And all these other things that are going on, see, they're secondary to the fact that the God of this world is reaping havoc. And we have a resource as born-again children of God that we need to be putting into use, and I'm going to talk to you about some of those resources. So what are we going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go demonstrate? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to go demonstrate? You're going to go fight? You're going to stand toe-to-toe with people and fight for, you know, what you believe? Well, let me tell you what God told Habakkuk to do, okay? Because Habakkuk was where we are right now. And I think it would do us good to see what God wants us to do in times like these. All right? So let's see what God said. God's way is always right. Amen. God's way is always right. And so we're going to see what God said to do. We looked at last week, if you remember, in chapter 1, the burden. The burden. Got to have a burden. So, a preacher, I'm going to go tell them what I think. Well, if you do it without a burden, you're going to hurt yourself and hurt the cause of Christ. You've got to start with a burden. Is that what it says in chapter 1, verse 1? The burden. Right? Then look at chapter 2, verse number 2. The vision. Right, the vision. So it starts with a burden, and then you get a vision. Right? And then chapter number 3, look at what it says in verse number 1. The prayer. All right? So this is what this book is about. And we talked about this last week. And so when we read the book of Habakkuk, we've got to know where to start. It starts with a burden. When I hear and when I see and when I take a look at what's going on in our world, it burdens my heart. And can I tell you that this was before the coronavirus. This was before the unfortunate events that has been taking place in our world in the last month or so. All right? And so I want you to understand that as a Christian, we ought to look around us and see the plight of our world, and it ought to move us and bring us to a point of burden. We ought to be burdened that there are people that are groping about in this life in darkness. They have absolutely, listen, they have no clue why they're here. They have no clue what's going on. Absolutely zero. They're without any form of knowledge, of leadership. Oh, they think they have it. Now listen to me. They think they have it. They think they have the things that they are without. But it's because the God of this world has blinded their foolish minds. And you and I, who have the light of the Word of God, know these things. And so we are responsible to take note of what's happening and to react. But we're to react the way God said to react. So Habakkuk saw some things. Now let's see where he started. I didn't talk about this last week. Where did Habakkuk start? Did Habakkuk start and say, you know what, I tell you, these people outside of the chosen people of God, all right, that was Israel in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about the church. These people outside the church, well, I tell you, they just need to get right. That's not where Habakkuk started.
Right.
By the way, that's not where God starts. Judgment, Peter said, must begin in the house of the Lord. Amen. See, God always starts with His people. If my people. Right? See, God said, my people hold the key. If my people. You want to see God work? Then, as His people, then we're going to have to get in line and in sync with what God is doing in this world. And I believe you desire to do that. I really do. We're not the only congregation of believers that desire to do that. I thank God that there's a congregation of born-again Christians around this world. Many of them, as I mentioned to you last week, we have opportunity to partner into their ministry to carry out the purpose that God has for His church here upon this earth. All right? And it's not fighting some of the things that we're seeing people get involved. See, the devil's trying to distract you. I could, and I'm not going to get off base here, but study the life of the Apostle Paul. He stayed on course. Amen? He's getting ready to check out. You know what he said? Hey, Timothy! Notice what he didn't say. I'm going to say what he did say. Preach the word. That's where it's at. You stay in the word, Timothy. You stay on course. You stay with God. Don't get off course. Stay focused. Amen. Preach the word. Then he said, you know what? I fought a good fight. What kind of fight did you fight? The good fight of faith. Amen. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. See, this is what we have to do. Don't let the devil divide you now. Don't let the devil divide us. We're a family. And the devil's trying to divide. That's what the devil, listen, that's what he does. He divides. God unifies. Listen to me now. I'm telling you what this book teaches, and you know it. We just need to be reminded of it. You'll be breaking fellowship with a believer over something that has nothing to do with why God left you here on this earth. Amen. Now, there's no need to break fellowship over should you wear a mask or not. Want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. Some of our folks are wearing a mask. God bless you. Some are not. God bless you. There's no need in getting on social media and fighting the mask war. Say amen now. There's no need in getting on Facebook fighting the social injustice war. There's no need in doing that. Preach the word. Stay focused. Let's stay focused. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of what, Paul? The gospel. The gospel. See, we need to stay focused. What's the answer to many, if not all, the things that we're going through in this situation in which we find ourselves in today, not only as a country but as a world? Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. The Word of God is the answer. Amen. And so he said, I start with a burden. And he started with God's people. You saved? Are you saved? Amen. Are you 100% sure of that? Amen. Are you 100% sure, as we sang this morning, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there? Are you 100% sure? If you are, then you're part of God's family. You're part of what Habakkuk looked at in his day, and he said, Lord, he said, you know what? Your people have gotten way off base. He said, I've been crying and crying in verse number 2 of chapter 1. And he said, your people's gotten involved in grievance and spoiling and violence and strife and contention. The law's slack. He said, your people's in a mess, Judah. And I think you need to revive us. God, I want you to do something for your people. God said, oh, I've got something planned for my people. And he said, I'm going to tell you what it is in verse number 5. And we looked at this last week. He said, and I will work a work in your days in verse number 5, which you will not believe, though it be told you. He said, I'm going to do something, but it's not what you're thinking. And sometimes, many times actually, doesn't God do things that we're just not looking for that. We're just not looking for what God does. Many times that's why we miss it. I don't want to miss what God's getting ready to do. I think He's getting ready to do something big. Can't tell you what it is. I just sense that this old world's getting ready to experience a big move of God. In what way, I can't say. It might be in judgment. God may have mercy on us one more time and extend His grace and show Himself strong to this old world one last time. I don't know. But I do know this. God is a God of activity. And He's going to do something. But what am I to do? What are you to do? What are we to do? Well, we looked at this, and I want to pick up in verse number 2, because here's the instruction. I want you to write it down, and I want you to notice it's very simple. It's simple. All right? After God had told Habakkuk, he said, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. Habakkuk responded and said, Lord, you're holy. Now, here's something that God was looking for. All right? Habakkuk didn't say, now, God, you're love. I thank God he is love. Amen. Amen. But Habakkuk didn't start with the love of God. He started with the holiness of God. And he said, God, in verse number 12, he said, thou art from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine holy one. We shall not die. And then he says it in verse number 13, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. See, this is a missing facet in our faith today. Many people just set aside the fact that God is holy. And that's why the children of Israel had gone a whoring after other gods, and that's why the Chaldeans had gotten into the place they were in, because they dismissed the fact that God in his holiness is going to require our sin on our behalf. You see, we're going to answer for sin. Man always answers for sin. See, we live in a generation of people that think, I'll just do what I want to do and nobody can hold me accountable. That's a foolish way to live life. That's a foolish way to live life. I pray to God that there'd be nobody here this morning that would think you could live that way. Can I tell you, God's going to hold you accountable for your actions? So, well, my parents didn't. Well, I'm sorry about that, but God's going to anyway. Amen. Well, you know, I work down at so-and-so and they don't hold me accountable. I do what I want and I still get paid. God's still going to hold you accountable. I speed up and down the highway and I do what I want to do and I live the way I want to live, and in the county and the state, they don't hold me accountable. God's still going to hold you accountable. When no one else will hold you accountable, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's going to hold us accountable, brethren. And God said, Habakkuk, I want you to make this known. And he said, okay. He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? So in times like these, when people are just doing what they want, when they want, how they want, to anyone they want. And by the way, that's where Habakkuk was. That's where we are. That's where we are. We have folks starting their own state. You know about this, right? In Seattle. You know about this. Barricading themselves in, holding business owners hostage, starting their own state, going to do their own thing, make their own laws, let in who they want to let in. It's amazing how these people who didn't want a wall now want a wall. I tell you. It's a bunch of hypocrisy going on in our world, brethren. A lot of hypocrisy going on in our world. I'm going to call it out. Because God's Word calls it out. What do you want to do? God, what do you want us to do? He said, all right, here's the first thing I want you to do. And it's not easy. Sounds easy, but it's not. See if it's easy for you. When I studied this, I thought, that's not easy. It sounds like it'd be easy. Here's what he said. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand. Look at it carefully now. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. That's the first thing. What's that? I'm going to wait. See, we're people of action. We just got to do something. Right? And Habakkuk said, Lord, I'm going to get myself away from everything. I'm going to get on my watch, watchtower, okay? I'm going to seclude myself. I'm going to remove myself from all that's going on. The voices that are out trying to get my ear. Boy, there's voices everywhere trying to get your ear. Listen to me now. Trying to get your ear. Trying to fill you up with what they want you to do. We want you to believe like us. We want you to think like us. And if you don't, well, then we're going to fight you. Now, don't you be that way. I want people to be saved. But I'm not going to back them in a corner, and I'm not going to want to fight them if they don't. Amen. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to wait. It's not an easy thing to wait. But the Bible over and over and over again says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God, what do you want us to do? Wait until I tell you what to do. That's what he told Habakkuk. Get in your secret place. Get in your watchtower. Stay alert and wait for your marching orders. That's where I want to be. That's the first step. Just remove yourself from the problem, because if you don't, you're just apt. I'm just apt to go just frailing away and running out there full of emotion and do something that emotion has driven me to do and not the Spirit of God. Right? I'm going to do something and I'm going to let them hear my voice. I really don't know that I want them to hear my voice. Because sometimes my voice has some unkind things to say to people who are opposed to this book right here and opposed to the life that I think that God has given us as patriots here in the United States of America. So I'm going to go and I'm going to stand in verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I'm going to wait. But now I'm just not going to stand idle as I wait. I'm going to pray. So you wait and you pray. And then the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 2, and we'll watch. I'm just going to keep looking so that I can gather information so that God can begin to use information to help me develop a course of action as God begins to speak to me. You study the scripture, the prophets, those that went to work, Nehemiah, Ezra, these people that began the rebuilding process, people that did a work for God, always followed this formula right here. Always. They would assess it. Nehemiah went at night. They would assess it. They waited. They prayed. They were burdened. They were moved to tears. They wept. And they said, God, if you don't get involved, this is not going to get done. God, I can't change this. My anger and my passion alone cannot change the situation that we're in. But God, if you'll get involved, things will change. Brethren, that's what we need. We need to implore upon God. God, get involved. Get involved, Lord, and help us to have the wherewithal to follow as you lead. We're going to wait on you, Lord. And we're going to watch. And we're going to pray. And we're going to ask you to give us marching orders. We're going to ask you to guide us and to lead us and to show us what you want us to do. Not what this flesh wants us to do. Because this is not a fleshly battle, brethren. I can't overemphasize that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. I said this is a spiritual battle. We must get that down. The enemy wants us to fight it in the flesh. Why? Because then we all lose. We all lose. But when we begin to realize this is a spiritual battle, and when we go to war spiritually, equipped the way God wants us to go to war, then victory can be won. He said in chapter number 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I'm going to remove myself. I'm going to get alone. I'm going to pray. Can I encourage you to do that? You say, oh, preacher, that's easy. It's easy sitting here saying you're going to do it. But tomorrow when you set out to do it, the devil's going to have 100 things you need to be doing instead of just being still and knowing God is God. Right? Instead of just stealing away and spending some time with the Lord and saying, God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your strength. God, I need your knowledge. God, I need your direction in my life. Give me wisdom. Help me to see things as you see, Lord. Help me to see people as you see them. And not the way this old depraved flesh sees things. So, I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch. I'm going to pray. But now, there are times God wants us to go to work. See, this is preparation here. So don't forget this preliminary instruction that God gives. A lot of times we skip this and just go right to doing what we think needs to be done and fix things the way we think they need to be fixed. And God said, no, Habakkuk, this is what I want you to do. And he said, I'll do it. Look at verse number 2. And the Lord answered me. You know, I'm glad Habakkuk's having this conversation with us. Amen. Amen. He said, hey, for all those out there, I want you to know the Lord answers prayer. See, when you begin to pray, when I begin to pray, the old devil will get in the prayer closet with you. You say, oh, the devil don't get in the prayer closet. Well, he gets in mine quite often. He'll have me thinking of 100 things I need to be doing besides praying. Amen. I'm not the only one like that, am I? Huh? I mean, he'll have my mind just, I mean, it's just amazing. But I'm not going to quit praying by the grace of God because of him.
That's right.
And don't you quit praying because of him either. Then he wins. When God's people quit praying, the devil wins, brethren. The enemy wins. Prayers where the battle's won. I said prayers where the battle's won. Prayers where it's at. Brother David and I were talking yesterday. You go back and you look at all the revivals in the past time. Prayers where it's at. So, you know, those great men of God that stood and preached. Hey, preaching's not where it's at. Prayer's where it's at. Preaching can't do anything without praying. Amen. We need to pray. Habakkuk prayed and God answered. Amen. God answers prayer, brethren. God answers prayer. Don't you ever quit believing that. Don't you ever give up on that. God answers prayer. So I've been praying a long time. You keep praying. As a matter of fact, God told Habakkuk, I know you've been praying a long time. He had said that. Look in chapter 1, verse 2. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry? I've been praying a long time, God. God said, you can pray a little longer. Look over in chapter 2. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry. Look at it. Wait for it. Don't you give up, Habakkuk. Don't you quit praying. You keep on praying. You learn to wait. You learn to watch. It's in those times I'll teach you some things about me, Habakkuk. And I'll teach you some things about you. And I'll teach you some things about the situation. And I'll teach you some things about the enemy. So that when you do go to war, you'll go to war as a prepared, informed warrior for the cross. He said, the Lord answered me. Aren't you glad God answers prayer? I asked you earlier, how many of you could sing when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. If you're saved, I want you to raise your hand and say, preacher, I am a testament that God answers prayer. I want you to look around you now. Don't you listen, you use this to serve notice on the devil. God answers prayer. We could ask everyone, you can put your hands down. God, I appreciate you raising your hand to the testament that God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And every person in here that raised their hand could say, preacher, God hasn't only answered one prayer of mine. God continuously answers my prayer. And I bless his holy name for it. Serve notice on the devil. God still answers prayer. God hasn't gone out of the prayer answering business. God's answering prayer, brethren. Just because I can't see it, the ending from the beginning, and just because I can't see the course that God is on, that doesn't mean that God is not hearing and answering prayer in our day.
Amen.
He said in chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me. What a wonderful thought.
Amen.
I'm so glad that God allowed Habakkuk to write that down.
Yeah.
To let us know in times like these, when it seems like the world's gone crazy, spinning off course, and nobody has any moral aptitude anymore, I'm so glad that we can know that God is still hearing and answering the prayers of his people.
Amen.
He said, now I want you to write. Now that you've waited, all right? Now that you've prayed, now I want you to do something. See, writing requires some movement. It requires some action from us. Right? See, this usually is our first step. Right? I know God wants me to fight evil. Well, yeah, I do too. And I know God wants me to do this. Listen, I think a lot of us here know what God wants us to do, generally speaking. But we have to understand there's times, and you study the scripture, and God says, this is where it begins, right here. I need you to wait. God has a purpose. Need you to wait. Need you to watch. That means pray expectingly. Right? That's what the watchman on the wall did. He looked out, expecting to see. And by the way, it wasn't all bad news. He wasn't just looking for the enemy. Sometimes he was looking for reinforcement. Amen. For supplies. That watchman was a very important person in the war. So don't forget your position now. There's a spiritual lesson here of the watchman. Don't forget that God's left us here as watchmen. And it's not all just about looking for the enemy. and sounding the alarm. The enemy's on the horizon. The enemy's coming. Now, sometimes it was good news. The allies were coming as reinforcement, or they were bringing in materials to help restock and reload for the next fight. He said, I want you to write this vision. We're going to look a little bit, just in the time we have left, I'm going to give you just two quick things that God wants us to do. And boy, I tell you, the enemy is at work, trying to get me to stop, trying to get you to stop what God told Habakkuk to do. Now, the vision is the remainder of chapter 2, and it picks up in chapter 3. Look over at the vision that he told him to write. In chapter 3, and verse number 3, it picks up with the vision, and it ends in verse number, look at verse number 15. Well, verse number 16 says, when I heard. All right, when I heard. So that's where the vision ends. And it picks up in chapter 2 and it goes over to chapter 3 again in verse 3 through 15. And then the vision ends in verse number 16. He said, when I heard, my belly trembled. He said, my God spoke to me. And I wrote that vision. He said, the fear of God was on me. What did God tell Habakkuk to do in a time like he was in? Because I believe that God wants us to do something very similar. He wants us to wait and watch and pray and then act. What does God want us to do? Why did God leave us here? Let's look at the first thing he said. He said, I want you to write the vision. And he said, as you write the vision, I want you to warn some people. All right? Now, primarily the enemy. See, God starts with his church, the chosen. But notice what he said, and we'll get back. He told him, he said, I want you to address those that live by faith in verse number 4. He said, but the just shall live by his faith. And time permitting, we'll get back to that. If not, we'll get into the next study. But I want you to see what's happening here. Because if we're not careful, we'll miss it. And I don't want you to think that the preacher, your pastor, has in any way minimized what's going on in our world. I've just lined it up with what this book teaches, and I want to tell you what's going on in our world today. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil's trying to get us off track. He's trying to get us off the main thing. He's trying to get us to lose our focus. You know what this enemy's about? The devil, through the many voices that are out there crying, they want us to lighten up on sin. You haven't lightened up on sin, have you? See, that's what bothers them. They want us to lighten up on sin. And so they have these names that they give themselves as organizations to make us ashamed to stand against them, because then we look like the villain. I'm not the villain because I take a stand against sin. I'm going to stand against sin. I don't care what garb it's wearing. Come on, folks. You stand against sin. I don't care if they call themselves the brethren. If it's sin, it's sin. They want us to lighten up. Those outside the church house, those outside the body of Christ, see, they say, well, you know, you people are a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of holier-than-thous. You're a bunch of Bible-thumping conservatives who want us to change our lives. I want you to get saved in the grace of God so you can experience the forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ. That's what I want, because that's what God wants. But I'm not going to back off of sin to do it. So let's see what he said to say. You going to follow? Because this is a harsh message, but it's needed today. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and taunt a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Now, this is talking about the leader of the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar. All right? Those people who said, we don't need God, and I'm just going to bring it up to present day, we don't need the Bible, we don't need church, we don't need a preacher. Away with that stuff! And you know what God said, Habakkuk? He said, don't you quit preaching it. Don't you quit preaching. We don't want to hear it. You still preach it, Habakkuk. Amen. And Christians, you still tell it out there. Tell what, preacher? Well, let's look at the first thing he said. The first thing he said is, woe unto him that increaseth in that which is not his, in selfishness, in thievery, in stealing, in taking that which doesn't belong to them. He said, you still tell them that a thief is going to have the judgment of God on their life. That those that are self-centered, that those who only live for their self, that those who do not love their neighbor, but yet in the garb of we love this group and we love that group and we love these and we love those. Hey, God said if you're just doing it for self-promotion, if you're just doing it to get more of what you want, and you're just doing it because you want others to back down on sin, he said, woe unto you. And I'm going to keep preaching it. And I pray to God you would keep living it. Amen. Don't you let folks back you down. Don't you let folks tell you, well, you know, preacher, that strong preaching and that way of living, you're a Christian and you go to work and you say, listen, that's wrong. It's wrong to steal from the boss man. Say amen. It's wrong to take something that's not yours. It's wrong to walk out of here without paying for that. Well, you know, everybody else is doing it. That doesn't make it right. I said, that doesn't make it right. And God is going to require it. And we need to start living with some morals and some principles again in our lives so that people would see that God is holy. That's where Habakkuk started. He said, oh God, you're holy. You're a pure eyes. He said, oh God, help your people to see that the thing that will get a lost world's attention is that God Almighty is a holy God. Whoa. That's not a very kind word. Verse number 6, woe. But he didn't end there. Look at verse 8. Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood and for the violence of the land of the city, of all that dwell therein. God said, you're going to pay for what you've done. What are we to do? We're to let people know God loves you. And God sent His Son to die for you. And God's grace is extended to you. But if you reject the grace of God and continue to trample underfoot the blood of Jesus, God's going to judge you one day. You're going to stand before a holy God. I don't believe in God. You're still going to stand before Him. And you're going to give an account to Him. And your knee is going to bow before Him. Amen? Look, if you would, in verse number 9. Habakkuk, take a stand now. Take a stand unto him that coveteth, for evil covetous to his house, ill-gotten gain. Take a stand against these folks that lie and steal and cheat. Let folks know it's still wrong. It's still wrong to lie. It's still wrong to cheat. It's still wrong to sin. Amen. We're living in a day now where people say, hey, you know, preacher, there's a lot worse things going on than lying and cheating and stealing. God hasn't changed His mind on sin. It's still just as wrong to steal and cheat and lie as it's ever been. And now we've got Christians saying, well, you know, this is the way if we're not careful, this is the way we'll live our lives. Well, you know, it's not like I'm out having an affair with somebody, preacher. If you're stealing, it's sin. If you're lying, it's sin. Well, it's not like my children are on drugs. They just cheat a little bit on their test. Well, it won't be long. They probably will be on drugs if you don't stop that in its tracks. If you're okay with your child cheating, there's something wrong with you. Cheating. Cheating. It's sin. And we have seemed to got to the place in our lives to where we think that these things are not meaningful anymore. God still calls it sin. So what are we to do in times like these, preacher? We're to wait on God. We're to get in the closet with God and wait and watch and pray so that God can fill us with holy boldness and we can go out with a burden. Now listen to me now, with a burden and a vision and begin to tell people with a broken heart, hey, what you're doing is not right in the eyes of God. That stealing, God says you're going to answer for it. Well, preacher, they'll say that I think I'm better than they are. Don't you let what they say or how they feel change what you promote when it comes to the Word of God. Is that what we're being told here? Absolutely. Look, if you would, on down in verse number 12. We're getting ready to touch real close to what's going on now. Look at verse number 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Wow. Huh? I've been asked on numerous occasions, will you support this group? Can you support this group? Can you support that group? If a group's for abortion, this preacher right here is standing against them. I don't care what their name is. I don't care what they say they stand for. If they're for abortion, I'm against it. Abortion is murder. And that multi-billion dollar industry, that's what it is, by the way. It's a multi-billion dollar industry called Planned Parenthood. Abortion is murder, and God said, I'm going to judge you. Woe unto him. Harvesting. Harvesting. You know what harvesting is? It's sin. It's sick. But now make sure you have a burden. You say, preacher, you look mad. I'm mad at the devil. If I look mad, it's not at you. If I look mad, it's not at sinners. I'm mad at sin. I'm mad at the devil. And I'm mad that we as believers, and I put myself right there at the top. I'm mad that I haven't done more, that I haven't sounded out the alarm, that I haven't done my part in letting people know, hey, God hates sin. But he loves you. And he wants you to get saved. And he wants to cleanse you of your sin. Abortion. These things that are happening in our world. Listen, harvesting. Child trafficking. Listen, don't bury your head in the sand. This is going on. In a town near you. There's children being sold. Listen to me. Child pornography. There's towns, there's cities, there's empires, there's industries being built on the innocency of the unborn and the little children. Hey, I'm here to tell you, God is not going to hold those folks guiltless. We've gotten away from it. We seemingly think, well, we'll turn our head or we'll just get on social media and put out a couple of posts and everything will be okay. We need to get in the prayer closet and say, God, I'm waiting on you. God, I need you to answer. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, give me a burden so that when I go and I confront this sin, that I can do it in the compassion of Jesus and the power of the Father in heaven. He said, Habakkuk, he said, I want you to let them know now, those that build a city on innocent blood, coming after them. God didn't let those in the past and history off, and he's not going to let us off either, brethren. You telling them? You telling them? You say, well, preacher, if I say this out in public, people, they might not like me. Well, the kindest man ever lived, Jesus Christ, they hated him. Actually, they crucified him. What are we to do, preacher? Keep calling sin, sin. Keep a burden in your heart. Keep a burden in your heart. Don't go out there and fuss with them and stand toe-to-toe. Just say, thus saith the Lord. Tell them what God said. Tell them with a love in your heart, a burden in your soul. Right? Right? That's what the Bible says. The Bible's always right, brethren. The Bible's always right. Look at verse number 15. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, and putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look at their nakedness. Also, verse number 17, for their violence. Woe to that drinking, that liquor crowd. You listening to me? Big Pharma, these drug companies, these folks standing on the sidewalks and the back alleys of our cities. God said, woe to you. You're intoxicating our community. You're drugging our youth. And we don't appreciate it. And God said he's going to judge you. Now, God loves you and he wants to save you. But if you don't get out of that, God said, I'm going to deal with you. It's sin. It's sin. Is that what the book says? Get out of that alcohol industry. Quit selling it. Quit serving it. Quit using it. God forbid that you wouldn't be, but if you are, quit it. God said, woe. I'm telling you what the book says, brethren. God hasn't changed his mind on sin. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken. Also, that thou mayest look at their nakedness. Get people drunk and drugged up and take advantage of them. It's going on in our world, has been for years. Don't you fall prey to it. It's going on. You see what he's saying now? The final one, woe unto him, in verse number 19, that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, and it shall teach. If you'll read 18 and 19, you'll find where it's saying, woe to idolatry. Woe to idolatry. There are some folks that are so eaten up with sports, they can't worship God on Sunday. Some say they're saved. I don't know what's in their heart. They can't focus on a worship service for wondering about what's going to happen at kickoff. Now, you know what I'm saying, so. And God said, woe to you. And God said, don't you stop telling people that's wrong. Now, don't listen, as I said, don't back them in a corner and don't try to beat them up or fight with them. But you let them know, you take your stand and say, hey, listen, God said that's wrong. God said it's wrong when you put other things before him. Who's your enemy? Who's your enemy? I want you to listen real careful to me now. The devil will say, if you are anything but Caucasian, I want you to stand to your feet. If you are Hispanic, Korean, African-American, stand up. Puerto Rican, stand up for a moment. I'm going to show you something. See, if you're not careful, Cherokee, if you're not careful, the devil will say, hey, here's your enemies. Here's your enemies right here. These are not our enemies. These are our brethren. These are our brethren. These are our family. You can't look beyond what's on the outside. You let a little melatonin, listen, you let a little of that get in the way of who your friends and enemies are, you're shallow. Thank you, brethren. You can sit down. Thank you, young folks. Now, if you're Caucasian, if you're white, I want you to stand. Now, those of you who are not, here's what the enemy's going to say. Look around you now. They're your enemies. They're your enemies. We're not your enemies. We're your friends. And if we're not, there's something wrong with us, not you. Thank you. You can be seated. Who is my enemy, preacher? Does the color of skin decide who my enemy is? Does the even the religious position, is a Catholic my enemy? Is a Buddhist my enemy? Listen to me now. They may be enemies of the cross. You know what my enemy is? You know who my enemy is? You know who your enemy is? Anything that keeps you from the Word of God. That's your enemy. Learn what your enemy is. The devil can come in many forms. You say, well, this person's my enemy. That race is my enemy. That religion's my enemy. Listen, I'm not saying that we're all going to yoke up together. I'm just saying, know who your real enemy is. The devil's going to come to you in a tangible form and say, here's your enemy. Here's your enemy. Not tangibly. It's spiritual. You better know who your enemy is. It's the devil. It's the devil. So, preacher, I don't like that. Well, search this book and tell me what the Bible says. I hear folks say, well, you know, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be one this and one that. Well, I don't know now. John said he saw them of every tribe and tongue and kindred in heaven. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Better read it again now. Amen. Idolatry. Idolatry. What comes between you and God? Is it sports? Is it money? Is it work? Is it a person? Is it an entertainment figure? Is it a video game? You know what some folks let keep them from the Bible? A cartoon. A video game. God said, Habakkuk, don't quit preaching that. You tell people, whoa. Because you want to know what the problem of our world is? It's not a virus. It's real. It's real. But that's not the problem we're facing. It's not a justice or an injustice. It's not a privilege. It's the devil. It's the devil. And he's using all of these things to divide and conquer and to get us off our focus and to get us off our spot and to keep us from fighting the good fight of faith. Well, I have to close on a positive note. I want to give you three scriptures, and I'll just read them and we'll preach them next time. All right? So what are we to do? We're to take our stand against sin. I'm not backing off of sin. Well, preacher, people are going to think you a preacher of hate, and they don't know me. Get to know me and you'll know that I'm not a hateful person. I love people. I try everything I can to get people saved. I try to help people. And I'm not saying that I'm anything. It's what God's made me. I try to help people. So, well, you don't seem like you do. Well, you don't know me. I've tried to help several people this week. I've visited in homes, tried to help them. Those of you that are questioning me, have you? We've given thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions. We run buses. We try to get people saved. We're in ministry trying to make a difference, trying to make an impact, trying to get people to understand what it is to have a right relationship with God. But I'm not going to back off of preaching the Bible because groups say, well, you know, these are different times and you can no longer call abortion murder or relationships outside of marriage adultery. Yes, it's adultery. Because God said it was adultery. And that sex before marriage is fornication. Sure, it's fornication. God said it was. It's what the Bible teaches. And I'm not going to back off of it. And as Christians, we need to stay with God. How are we going to make a difference in the world if we don't? So, preacher, how's that going to help anybody? How many of you were sinners before you got saved? Raise your hand. Some of you were a little bit of a sinner. Good, strong preaching on the holiness of God and sin help you out any? Yeah. Got to get convicted before you can get converted. This watered down preaching, this soft peddling, these Christians that are afraid and cowardly and won't stand up for what's right, they're not going to make a difference in anyone's life. But if you'll take a stand with a burden, can't overemphasize that, God will use you to make a difference. He'll use His Word to bring conviction. God, what do you want us to do? Well, here's what I want you to do, Habakkuk. I want you to wait. I want you to watch. I want you to pray. And then I want you to proclaim. I want you to let people know that God still judges sin and has expectations of people. Finally, and I'll just point you to these, and we'll preach them next time. Verse 4, there's some positive news. The just shall live by faith. I'm glad God changes lives. Amen? I'm glad God changes lives. The just. The just, yes, that's us. That's we that are saved. Not because we're anything, but because God extended His grace and gave us the gift of faith to accept it. I'm glad God can make a difference in a life, aren't you? Look at verse number 14. Verse number 14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Jesus is coming back. One day all this is going to be set right. You listening? No riots. No viruses, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. One day, all the earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. Is that what verse 14 says? Look at verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. One day, God is going to show Himself of what He is. And that is the ruler of all the universe. He is that, but He's going to show Himself as that. I hope you'll recognize Him as that. Let's stand to our feet.